We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hi, everybody, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the PHNX Suns podcast, brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's number one sportsbook app. Don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and leave us a five-star review. But for real, though, you should definitely do all of that.
Especially Lindsay Smith.
That's yeah. Saul Bookman.
Spotify, yes.
That's Gerald Bourget. And that's Espo. And happy Friday, y'all. How you feeling?
End of the week, baby. Let's go. We got a game tomorrow, though.
Yeah. Not really the end of the week.
It feels like there's been so many games this week.
I'm exhausted.
Are we at four? Tomorrow's four, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. It just feels like it has been a very, very long week. The first part of the week was super fun. The middle part of the week, not so much. Hopefully we end on a high note tomorrow. In San Antonio, I mean, we should, in theory, but you know better than to just go based off of that.
Don't assume.
Exactly. All right. Well, we've got a fun show in store for you guys. We've got some games and some playful things later on. But first and foremost, let's talk a little bit of serious type of Suns basketball. So, Gerald, one thing that's come up a lot recently with DeAndre Ayton is the defensive side of the ball, especially when it comes to rim protection. And of course, that's something that we all know Bismack Biyombo is very good at. And you wrote about that recently for gophnx.com.
Yes, and disclaimer, I did not write about this in a reference to Ayton or to make him look bad, because I know that that's the next thing that's fucking coming.
I love that we have to have that caveat.
We have to have a disclaimer about DeAndre Ayton for everything. But I had been asking around about, you know, busy shot blocking, and a lot of these guys that just go through the motions when they answer questions. And he took 4 minutes out of our press conference to talk about his mindset, his approach, how he handles blocking shots.
And it's his hands to talk.
No, that's just me. Oh, but
that's the Italian in me.
That is the Italian in me. Italian. But and he was great, very gracious, and it snowballed into one of my favorite pieces of the year. And there were some stats that kind of jumped out at me. And yes, some of them are in reference to DeAndre Ayton. And none of this is to say that Busy should be starting or that Ayton is a bad player. But it's a recurring concern that we've had with DA all season as far as the rim protection and the defensive effort on that side of the floor. And since Busy just cracked 1,000 career blocks, becoming only one of 103 players to ever do that in NBA history, I thought some of these were worth pointing out. So Busy's second in blocks per 36 minutes. He's second in block percentage, and he's 13th in blocks per game overall, despite ranking 323rd in minutes per game. Like, that's an absurd amount of production. He's in the 97th or better percentile in percentage of rim shots contested, rim contest per 75, blocks per 75, block rate on his contests, and rim defensive field goal percentage versus expected. So basically, how much worse a player shoots going up against you at the rim versus other centers. The Suns are 5.1 points per 100 possessions better with him on, and he's holding opponents to 15.2% worse shooting at the rim than they would normally shoot.
Which I found interesting. You also said, in comparison, Jock's at a minus 10 at the rim. DA is just under a minus 1.
He was at, well, last night he was at minus 0.1, which is terrible for a center. Now he's even worse. He's at plus 0.4%. So opponents technically shoot better at the rim against DeAndre Ayton than they do without him. So this is a thing that I feel like, I don't know how you would address it per se, but it's something that needs to improve. DA's never been like a monster shot blocker, but he's at least deterred shots. And the numbers back up that he contests a decent amount of shots, but he doesn't close the distance and actually get the shot. I don't know whether it's, you know, Bizzy's obviously an athletic freak of nature, but DA is an athletic guy too, and he's taller than Bizzy. So it's one of those things that I would like to see more of an emphasis on with him moving forward.
So one of the reasons why that's the case is Bizzy does have a longer wingspan, which does help. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't
7 foot fact. 6 wingspan.
It's ridiculous. Insanity. Yeah, it's ridiculous. But DA, in theory, has shown us that he doesn't necessarily need to get the block to be effective. Mm-hmm. We saw that all through that playoff run. We saw that last year in the playoffs as well. But for whatever reason, he's not closing off. So what's happening is guys are forcing their man, like Torrey Craig last night had an opportunity where he forced his man into DA. And DA sat there like a bump in a log and didn't really contest the way you need him to contest. Mm-hmm. That frustrates guys when they're doing everything that they need to do to push people defensively into what we consider strong points for your defense, and the anchor doesn't hold up his end of the bargain. And so I think that's the biggest thing that I'm seeing from DA right now, is that for whatever reason, whether he's afraid to get fouls or he's just lost whatever aggressiveness, it is definitely shining through on the defensive end at a higher level than I can ever recall. There are egregious errors sometimes where it's obvious to even the most novice basketball aficionado.
I think Bizzy brings up, I think it was Bizzy in the article talking about how you can't care if you're going to get dunked on, right?
Yeah.
You have to have that mental approach and you have to be all right with that being a potential outcome. And to me, I think DA doesn't have that right now where he doesn't care. He's just going to go up and contest, and whatever happens, happens kind of approach, which feels like that, and he talks about it, that feels like Bizzy's MO is, I'm going up, I don't care what happens. More likely than not, I'm getting the block than you getting the dunk on me.
Right, and I will say with Bizzy, he's in a unique position where he doesn't know what minutes he's going to get. Sure. So when he goes in there, it's pedal to the floor 100%. He doesn't have to, you know, during the stretch where he was starting, obviously he was going against starters, but for the most part, he's playing against backups. But it's not just a Bizzy thing. Like, it's not just, you know, this is an elite shot blocker and he comes in with his athleticism and energy. Like, Jock ranks better in all those advanced stats significantly compared to DA, and he's more of a groundbound guy. So it is something like the Suns are 8.5 points per 100 possessions better with Landale on. They're 8.5 points worse with DA on. And again, part of that is playing against starters versus bench guys most of the time, but the gap shouldn't be that big.
I'm telling you, folks, if you get a minute to just go back and watch DA in year number one with the Suns, don't go back to college, because if you look at him in college, that dude is a freak. And you're like, wow. Like, you forget why the Suns took him number one overall sometimes, because we're so consumed by what he's doing with the Suns. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, I've been looking at stuff in regards to DA, and just the athleticism. I mean, literally pulling up threes with no hesitation. Defensively, just being such a force, blocking dudes left and right, and rebounds over guys that he had no business getting rebounds over. Like, just the effort and the athleticism was at an all-time high. His first year in the league, he had a lot of that. There were some downs. There were some valleys for sure, but he showed us glimpses of how he could be dominant. That second year, he got better. And then the third year, he put it all together in the playoff run. And I don't know what is the disconnect.
There's got to be something, right?
I sit there and I think, you know, I know everybody wants to point to the money. And while I can appreciate the fact that that's the obvious thing that people will point to, and there has been other players or there have been other players that have gotten the bag and then production just significantly dropped off.
Right.
I just don't know if it's really that for him. I just feel like he's so aloof to that kind of stuff that I don't feel like that's the reason. I just feel like whatever his motor is just not where it needs to be, and I can't figure out why. I really can't.
But he did himself a disservice early on when he said his goal in his career was to get to the second contract.
Yeah.
Because that put that thought in people's heads. The interesting connection here, though, is many people felt Bismack was a bust in Charlotte.
Yeah, and he was a top 10 pick.
He was a guy that never lived up to their expectation, but now that he's removed from that and he can just play to his strengths like he does here in Phoenix, people love what he does on the court because he's out there to be a shot blocker and to put that pressure on defensively. And now people here gravitate towards him, where in Charlotte they hated on him because, oh, a top 10 pick, a bust, another guy that they can't figure it out here in Charlotte. So I find it very interesting. If there is a second destination for DA, what's that perspective for him? Is it, oh, we appreciate what this guy does because he's not bringing in that same kind of
baggage? We had somebody bring it up in the chat a few shows ago. Like, sometimes you just need a change of scenery. Like, look at Kyle Kuzma and Lauri Markkanen. You know, those were the two examples that they had shared. Maybe that is just the case here.
One man's trash is another man's treasure. And listen, we've heard it from our colleagues around the NBA about how come we don't appreciate DA? Hell, we've been talking about Siakam from time to time, and there's been multiple people that say you don't have to watch Siakam on a day-to-day basis, and he's not as good as you think he is. Mm-hmm. Like, so there's an outside perception of some of these players that doesn't align up with what you're seeing on a day-to-day basis if you're in that city, right? And I think with DA specifically, again, the draft and the bag are always going to be used against him in terms of what he is. Now, I think what we do a good job of is trying to step back and really see him for what he is as a player. Mm-hmm. With the money and the draft picks aside, what is he doing? And right now, what I can say is I still think that he's a very high-level, efficient offensive basketball player. Like, if you put him in good spots, he usually comes through. Last night he was terrible. But he's been a career 60% field goal percentage shooter. Like, that's what he is. Defensively is where he made a lot of his money because of what was required of him the first year Chris Paul was here, and everybody gave Chris Paul a lot of credit for him being the anchor, and he really stepped up and he owned that. But somewhere along the line of him not getting paid initially and then having to go through what he did this past summer. And I know he got the bag, but even we were kind of speculating, like, he got the bag, but does he really want to be here? Mm. Does he really feel like this is home and he wants to dominate here? And so far this season, it's very much been a mixed bag. And I will say that I am leaning towards he might not want to be here. He might not want to be here.
I can say I know that there's a disconnect, whether it's between him wanting to be here and the effort that we're seeing him put forth and the organization, or it's just a thing that we've been talking about for years now as far as he doesn't see his role the way the Suns do. Like, the Suns, we've talked about this before. The Suns have looked at championship teams in the recent past and seen, okay, there's an emphasis on ball handling, on shooting, on playmaking, on wings. We don't need a max caliber center to win. They respect what DA does, but they know that they can still be a good team if they have a league average center out there. The Warriors just won a title with Kevon Looney being their starting center. Like, you don't need an elite center to win a title. So for DA, when he is out and they're going with just conventional guys, sometimes the ball does flow better. They were trying really hard to get DA the ball because they were talking about how the Mavs like to switch. They're a smaller team, and normally they're good at punishing switches. DA just missed shots. That happens, especially first game back from an illness. Like, we should cut him a little bit of slack on that front.
Yeah, for sure.
But this is a recurring theme with the defensive side of the ball, and that's the more concerning thing to me. You're going to have nights where guys miss shots. Mikhail had a whole month where he was completely off. Devin Booker, before he got hurt, was going through it. Like, it's going to happen. The problem is DA's shots are all much closer to the rim, And you have to work a lot harder to set him up for those shots.
I just, at some point, both sides have to make it very clear if we can't be on the same page as to what, you know, if I'm DA as to what I am, then we need to move on from that, because you're not in the position to be the best team possible, and I'm not in a position to be the best player possible. But I think we've always gravitated towards guys like Busy in this town, mm-hmm. because they bring the heart, they bring the hustle. But I also think it's unfair to compare a guy like Busy mm-hmm. to a guy like DA, because you bring it up. When you're a starter, you have to have a different mentality, especially on the defensive side, than you do on a guy that's going to come in and play 11 to 12 minutes in a game.
Yeah.
Because you can go out there and you can play without a care, because you're not worried about fouling out. You're not worried about those things. You're not the main focus.
So. Yeah.
You know, and not only that, but it's like, you know, we sit here and we talk about these guys and like, oh, well, Busy is just so much better than DA, or Jock is so much better. Like, okay, yeah, it's all well and good until you actually do see them become the starter. Mm-hmm. And we saw this last year with JaVale,
yeah.
Multiple times where he was playing extended minutes. It did not go so well. Like it was still efficient. He was still good, but it wasn't, you know, what his per 36 projected him to be, right? And now you're seeing he's not even getting used in Dallas. Like, like there's certain things about what Espo was saying about being the starter and having to log those long minutes. It's a different, totally different environment. Mm-hmm. And it's not fair to compare one or the other. What we can say is that these guys are playing above expectations. And I think for the longest time in this city, we've been conditioned to root for the underdog, because we are always the underdog. Like we're a perennial underdog in Arizona. So it's easy to gravitate to guys like Jock or Busy, because they can't let you down because they're just coming off the bench. And right. if they let you down, it's a low letdown. It's okay. Yeah. But when you got to put all your money in stock into DA, and I truly believe it would have been the same thing had Luka come here. The same expectation would have been placed on Luka, and half the fan base would have not liked him. The other half would have, until he showed out what he could do. And obviously, if he's dropping 60-point triple-doubles, we all would have forgot about that shit, right?
Yeah.
But for DA, that's kind of the conundrum of what he's in. But I also do want to say this, and I told you guys I wanted to say something real quick. Mm-hmm. I understand that people are upset about DeAndre Ayton, and I have no problem with that. I genuinely don't. But we have, as a fan base, it feels like, or a certain section of the fan base, has gotten to the point where they have literally taken this almost to an extreme personal level, mm-hmm. like where they're just absolutely going at this guy, and the approach isn't even basketball related sometimes. It's just personal attack. This guy's such a piece of crap, or he's just this, that, the other, and it's just going to such an extreme that I honestly don't even want to be a part of that. Like, we can be better about this. We can have a civil discourse about this. Nobody should feel afraid to say DA isn't living up to expectations and then have half the fan base come at him because, you know, that's a trash take, and the other half, you know, just going over the top the other way. Like, there's got to be a meet in the middle here. He's not playing well. Okay, that's cool. He hasn't lived up to first round pick or first overall pick expectations or the max contract. Okay, that's fine. But I have never really seen the type of vitriol towards one specific player as I have with DA ever.
It goes beyond that, too. Like, yes, you should be mind what you say about a human being as far as the player themselves, but also amongst the community here. Like, we can agree to disagree without getting nasty with one another, right? If somebody loves DA, they're allowed to love DA. If somebody dislikes DA, they're allowed to dislike DA. Yeah, you guys don't 100%. Need to be angry at one another because you're in different camps. It's okay to have a different opinion without literally coming for people's throats. Like, we just can't. That's not cool. That's not what we're supposed to be doing in this community. You know what I mean? Like, sports are supposed to be fun. They're supposed to be a way for you to escape whatever maybe hardships are going on in your life. It's literally, quite literally, entertainment. So if you have somebody on your timeline that's really bothering you, the mute button exists for a reason. Use it.
We're at a point where everywhere else in life and in the world digitally, not when you're interacting in person in most cases, but digitally, has become so much vitriol and all that sports always kind of felt like a place that you could escape from some of that, like it, mm-hmm. you know, but everything, we're all digging in on every opinion now. And look, I've been guilty of it, and I think it, to some extent, everybody has been at one time or another, but it's, I think last night hit a crescendo, and I think we all could take a step back on that. And
well, it did, and it's frustrating because there is an interesting basketball conversation to be had about him, and I don't blame fans for being disappointed in his performance, especially this
right,
season.
That's like, fine.
That's natural. Not at all. Yeah, but sure. Yeah, like you're saying, when you make it personal, when you're just a dick and it's personal attacks on the guy, I'm not going to tell anybody how to fan, but we know that every fan base has good fans and they have bad fans. It's just the nature of this. So personally, I would advise you don't be a dick. Realize this guy is a good human being who has his priorities straight as far as being a family man and all that stuff. But yeah, I will say though, as far as evaluating his game, it's also okay to be frustrated with him, because if you're not a little bit frustrated with what we've seen this season, you're not really paying attention and you're just blindly supporting the guy. Like there's levels to this. There's a middle ground that we can talk about the basketball stuff and leave it at that.
Yeah. And we're already getting a couple comments in the chat. We're not telling you that you can't point out inconsistencies in DeAndre's play mm-hmm. or the frustrating parts of it. Like you're absolutely allowed to do that
all the time.
You should, and you can, you absolutely can. It's just when it becomes personal, which I know a lot of people are also saying they've never seen that. And I am so glad that you haven't seen
bro,
that.
I listen.
It's just different timelines, different curated pieces of content for everyone on social media. That's kind of how the platforms work. But I'm glad if you haven't seen it. If you have seen it, like I said, you don't have to engage. You can always use the mute button. But let's just, as fans at least, because we're all in this together, right? Yeah. That's like the fun of part of being a fan, is you get to connect with people online about a shared enjoyment, a shared like passion and love. So let's just keep it on that side.
I blame Luca. He tore us all apart.
Oh boy.
I don't really. It was a joke.
Just kidding. All right. So now that we got that all off of our chest, let's move right on along. And first and foremost, it is Friday. If you guys are looking to have a little bit of fun this weekend, maybe with some tasty beverages, might I recommend Four Peaks. Four Peaks has some fantastic brews. We got some people here at PHNX who are apparently going out for a night on the town.
Everybody
this evening
at PHNX is going out on the town tonight. What are you talking about, Lindsay?
Is that what we're doing?
Yes.
I didn't know we were doing
that. Thanks for the invite.
Oh,
guys.
No. Espo got invited.
I got invited.
Everybody got invited.
No.
I mean, I'll be in the Old Town area as it
is. Yay! Girthy
y'all
boy,
are gonna be drinking.
Let's go.
Y'all are going to be drinking
Four Peaks.
That's yes. Right. Espo gets it. Four Peaks beer. They also have two brand new beers right now, the Recreational Juice Dank IPA and the Staycation Super Juicy IPA. Also, the Super Bowl is just around the corner. Enjoy a nice Four Peaks beverage during the big game as well. Just make sure you guys stock up. And of course, you have to be 21 years or older, and we ask that you enjoy responsibly. So listen, we haven't exactly been the best as far as picking good bets on the DraftKings Sportsbook app this week.
Yeah.
But we're no quitters on this side of the television.
I might put up a sign that says, I don't want to be here anymore.
We don't quit. So we're going to try again with a pick of the week on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Espo, you got to get us back in the win column with this.
It's simple. Let's take it back to basics. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, Suns money line against the Spurs.
Okay.
It's that easy.
Okay.
That is your pick of the week. Take it to the bank, but don't get mad at me if I'm wrong.
Always the disclaimer. You cannot get angry if we're wrong.
I think it's funny that you asked us to do the pick of the week, even though you're leading in our standings.
That's true. But you're losing. So my next best option
you
was
you should have picked yourself. Always bet on yourself, Lindsay.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong, but you know.
She'd be in the negative if she had done that.
So. Too little, too late, I suppose. If you guys want to get in on the action on the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now, Four NFL teams remain, two conference championship games, and only a few more shots to win big on the playoffs with DraftKings Sportsbook app, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 57, new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. So make sure you download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the promo code PHNX, because new customers can bet $5 on the conference championships and get $200 in free bets instantly with the code PHNX, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Okay, the conversation that everyone wants to get into today, the better side of this Friday fun day, trade rumors. God love the trade rumors.
Are we sure that's a better side?
I mean, everyone loves it.
Have you seen my mentions?
But we love it, right? Isn't it so fun?
Oh, I have thoughts about your mentions.
I do too, but I'm going to keep it nice because we said we should.
Would you guys like to start with the D'Lo rumors, or would you like to start with some breaking news that people have put in the chat? It's not really that breaking. Don't get
breaking
too
excited. News.
Why are you getting me excited
but
like that?
But according to Jake Fisher, Denver has begun gauging the trade value of Bones Highland.
Ooh.
Is that something
there's no way
that you would be interested in?
Shut your mouth. AO2?
Did that come out too? Loosely? Okay.
Oh my God. If Bones Highland was a Phoenix Sun,
they would never, ever trade him to Phoenix.
Why?
Because the Nuggets don't want to have to face a guy that they just dealt in the playoffs. Like, this is like trade 101. You trade the young guy to the Eastern Conference and Siberia. So he's going to the Magic.
Dude, give me Bones all day. I love me some Bones.
I would love him here. But I just don't see that happening. My God, I'm turning into Gambo.
You are.
Where's the trade reaper graphic?
Reaper.
Where's the trade reaper?
Oh, no.
Forget about it.
That's tough. I'm kind of interested by that. I know he's been inconsistent for them this season, but I would be surprised if Bones gets traded. Just in general, he's only 22. Like he's got lots of room to improve.
Definitely,
for whatever.
12, 2, and 3 a game.
Yeah.
I mean, a nice guy off the bench.
Yeah. Listen, you know, I'm all about good vibes. And we know from our friends over at DMVR that Bones Highland has the best vibes. Mm. So if he was a member of the Phoenix Suns, sign me up.
Eric,
would be so fun.
At D-Line Co. on Twitter, if that happens, all you got to do is just change the colors of that t-shirt and send that bitch our way. Let's go.
I love that if it happens, I can use the headline Boned.
Oh my God.
Oh,
no. You
always
go
has
there.
To take it to another level.
You
would. I'm just giving a preview of where we're going.
Just making sure that people are prepared. That's all. But obviously, that one wasn't really directly related to the Suns, but it was something fun that popped up right as this show started. And we had it in the chat, so we had to bring it up.
Did you ever have the Bones Highland burger? Oh, you've never been to the DMVR bar?
I have not.
They literally have a burger, it's a salmon burger. Named after him, and it's
a good. It's
so
what
good.
Saul's trying to do there.
So
Gerald,
good.
You missed the cue. You were supposed. It was supposed to be all four of us.
I don't
at the
do
same
it on
time.
Command. I do it when I feel it.
Hey.
All right. So back to the Sun side of these rumors. Mm-hmm. D'Angelo Russell and the Suns mm-hmm. are making the rounds again.
Mm-hmm.
At some point in time, this either needs to come to fruition or it just needs to die. This has been going on since like. Literally the inception of time, it feels like.
It's Mike Myers from Halloween. No matter how many times our favorite guy stabs that rumor, it comes back to life. And guess what? This time, dead silence. Nobody's tried to kill it, which makes me believe there might actually be some truth to it this time.
We have the salaries to be able to match and do it. As a backup point guard, there's a lot worse that you could do in this league.
Mm-hmm. Mm. What do we get? So you could trade Dario, Jay, and Landry Shamet, and the salaries line up almost perfectly to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
What are you throwing in, though?
A pick, probably. Not this year's pick,
no,
obviously.
I think it would be a lottery-protected 2024, 2025 kind of pick.
Yeah. So as a backup point guard, he would be an upgrade over campaign for sure. He's averaging 18-6 over in Minnesota. They're a 500 team, but they've been missing Cat for a lot of the year, and they took on the albatross that is Rudy Gobert So that's honestly kind of impressive. And it would be an upgrade over Payne, over Saban Lee, over D-Wash at that spot.
And then picks.
And you wouldn't have to give up too much to get him aside from a pick. I would be a little underwhelmed if that's all they do at the trade deadline. But I think that would be I don't mind that at all, honestly.
I would too. I mean, that's not the big move everybody has hoped for. But if you're not gonna get some big move like a Pascal Siakam or something, like that's the kind of move that could make you better for this playoff run and then gives you the opportunity to keep him moving forward. What everybody keeps forgetting is these expiring contracts.
Right.
You do not gain $30 million in cap space.
Nope.
You basically lose that $30 million if you don't deal it for somebody that's going to stay around. And you can re-sign your own guy over the cap. So,
So
they have to make some move because I'm sorry, but obviously Jay ain't coming back. I find it very hard to think that Dario's coming back. And if he does, you're going to be spending very little to bring him back. Like I look at this, make some kind of move to bring in some kind of talent to help you now, but to also give you options in the offseason.
Well, I'm kind of shocked that everybody's so against this.
I think that might be the win because it's so split. You know what they say is unless your fan base is split 50-50 on a trade, then it's not going to happen.
Well, here's
my thing. So maybe D'Lo is actually going to come to fruition here.
Talk to me, Gerald. Tell me what
I think the reason why people are probably split is because it can't be as the long-term successor to Chris Paul.
No, I don't think it is.
He's your sixth man.
Is that the concern, that might end up being that?
But because he is an unrestricted free agent this summer. So, like, if you're trading for him, you're either going all in on a title contention run this year with making other moves, or you are having to re-sign him. I mean, he's going to be looking for decent money. I don't think he's going to make $31 million like he is this year.
I think he's realistic. He's probably in that $20 million range, right?
Which is a lot for a guy that I don't think should be your successor.
Though? Is he in that?
He's going to be looking for his range.
I think so. Because he's still putting up 18 and 6 on pretty good shooting splits. Like, he's only 26 still.
He's shooting, I think, 38 that would from be, 3 this year.
Right. That would be my concern with trading for him, is you see him as your future. And I just don't see that.
The thing I like about D'Lo right now is that he can't score and he can't facilitate. Mm-hmm. And right now, you don't really have a backup that has been consistent enough to do that.
Right.
Like, campaign, as much as we've been clamoring and hoping, and I know he's been injured, but he hasn't done that on a consistent basis. And so getting D'Lo to come in, maybe that boost of Booker will help. You know, maybe that boost of learning from a CP3 would help. You know, I don't know. I'm on board with it because I think of him as a 1-year solution. I do not think of him as a long-term solution to replace Chris Paul. But I think he would be a suitable stopgap for you to have a little bit more time to find a suitable replacement for Chris Paul, which isn't the worst thing in the world. Give him a 2-year, $40 million contract and call it a day.
Well, look, and there's a chance you keep Chris Paul next year, right? So, I mean, everybody assumes that, they're just going to let him go. But that's not necessarily going to be the case here. Hmm. So, I mean, if your plan is to keep Chris Paul and you can have D'Lo as that bench scoring, I don't have that much of a problem. You're not sacrificing much in terms of it. People are like, well, why would you pay that? And I'm like, you wouldn't get much from D'Lo. And I'm like, how much are you getting from Jay Crowder, Dario Saric, and Landry Shamet? And people are like, you can't trade Dario. I'm like, really? You can't trade Dario? We're now at the Dario's untouchable
phase. Dario stands. I can't. You know? I don't even understand it. Yeah, he's been playing very good of late.
Leave us alone.
My man didn't even last night.
Leave
he played like 3 minutes last night.
Look, let us have fun.
He's back playing decent, but like, really? If you can get something that can really help. And people can debate if they think D'Lo will really help. I get that part.
Right.
But Dario being this thought of as untouchable because he could be the key, it seems a bit much to me
right now.
Dude,
if Dario is the key, oh my God.
I don't want to see the door, right?
Is this what Narnia looks like?
If he is the key, we're going to clip this moment and play that shit back.
Oh, my God.
If Dario's we're going to rematch key,
with the Bucks,
I
and all of a sudden,
see the door
Dario
opens.
Drops 20 and 10, and I'm like, holy shit, he was the key.
Yeah.
I was wrong this whole time.
Oh, man. I love Dario, but if we have to move Dario, then we have to move Dario.
There you
like,
go,
it
Lindsay.
Just, it is what it is. Like,
sometimes
I totally
homies gotta
understand.
Go.
Right. Yeah. He's not untouchable by any means.
But
I do
we will
think
still
it's...
root for Dario, no matter where he is.
No, I don't wish him ill.
No, no.
Probably one of the nicest guys I've ever encountered in the locker room.
Okay, so where do each of you sit on a D'Lo trade? Yay or nay?
Yay.
Tentative yay. Yeah.
I think it would be, it shouldn't be option A.
No.
But if you kick the tires on some bigger moves and it's just not going to happen, I think that may be one of your best options on the table. So you might as well roll the dice because you're not gonna get anything out of the three I mentioned, at least not anything major. Try something. You got to try something.
As a backup, he's an upgrade.
Also, Dario is on an expiring, correct?
Yes.
He is, but he'd be cheaper to re-sign.
But couldn't you bring him right back?
You could
trade him and re-sign him in the offseason for cheaper if he wants to come back.
Not if you're over the cap.
Yeah, you don't.
Veteran minimum. Or biannual exception if you want to give him six.
Yeah, minimum, but.
All I know is we have the person in the chat who's figured out Cryotero. They got it. Just trade a third round pick for John Morant and Steven Adams. Problem solved.
Third round pick.
We're bringing the third round back.
Problem
round back.
All right. Solved.
Can I bring up something? Somebody or people keep bringing up Jordan Clarkson as the name. Oh, Jordan Clarkson, better than D'Lo.
And cheaper, apparently.
Yeah. Well, I hate this. Okay. Yes, he's cheaper for this season. But you're trading expirings for an expiring and negotiating a new deal. I don't care if he's cheaper. He's also more attainable because I don't know that Utah's actually actively trying to jettison players right now right? So when you look at it, D'Lo, 17.6 points a game. Jordan Clarkson, 21 points. All right. So Jordan scores more. 6.2 assists for D'Lo, 4.3. For Clarkson, so you're getting more distributing based on the stats
with
D'Lo.
Yeah,
you know, rebounding's 2.9 for D'Lo, 3.9 for Jordan Clarkson. But to me, right here, this one stands out: 38.3% from three for D'Lo, 35% for Clarkson. There's not some giant chasm here between these two guys, and you could argue in certain areas you're going to get a better fit with D'Lo and being able to spread the floor a little bit better like he has this year, and potentially leading that second unit with some assists as well. I don't know.
Well,
it's not perfect, but I don't know that they're going to get perfect.
I feel like people keep bringing up Clarkson, and yes, he does have innate scoring ability, but he's not the guy that people seem to think he is as far as a three-point shooter. Like, he wasn't good last year. He wasn't good the year before. He's been below average this year. 35% is okay. It's, like, not good. I think the average is around 36% in the league. So, I don't know. Like, I get it. You need some scoring off the bench. We need offensive creation. We've talked about this so many fucking times already, but I'm not as high on Clarkson, especially if Utah's going to drive up the asking price.
Jacob Winkler in the chat. He said, Flex said we're getting Embiid and LeBron in the offseason, so I'll wait for that. And I don't know if you're serious or not.
Leave Flex alone.
I love Jacob. Flex, but I'm like, did he really say that?
Look, people are like, well, if it costs the same. No, Utah's not going to accept a highly protected first-round pick. Minnesota's desperate for first-round picks because they sent everything that wasn't nailed down for Gobert.
Ugh.
So they're more desperate.
I mean, they ruined the market. A million percent. They ruined the market. People are literally fishing for like two or three first-round picks for some bum players right now. And I'm like, bro, you're not getting that.
How dare you speak of Alex Caruso that way?
The open door of the NBA.
It makes me wonder what James Jones really is pitching to teams with Jay Crowder, because if Gobert got four, surely we can get two.
Well, I'm sure James started with, when talking to the Bucks, Giannis would be nice. But if we have to accept Chris Middleton,
we'll do that.
That's
too.
Okay.
That's okay too. A lot of people, well, not a lot, a couple of people in the chat have mentioned like D'Lo's fit and that he comes with maybe some baggage as far as locker room, teammate type stuff. Would you be worried about that here?
Has D'Lo ever been on a highly functioning team?
No.
No.
Brooklyn was a hot mess. When
the Lakers were terrible.
The Lakers were a hot mess. When he got to Golden State, they were in that season where everything was in flux. People were hurt. And then Minnesota has not been a highly functioning organization while he's been there either. And I don't think you can blame it on him. I think you can blame his time at the Lakers on him. He was young, though. He did dumb things.
Right. That whole team did dumb things, and Kobe called them all out on it.
Jordan Clarkson was on that team, too.
Yeah, how about that, huh?
But yeah, I think there are some concerns with that type of thing, but we'd have those concerns with anybody that they're bringing in because guess what? It's a new guy. It's a new dynamic in a locker room that has been to this point very cohesive. So I don't know. I just don't know enough about him, but he is friends with Book. So that would help.
And I would say this, there's a big difference between Cat and Book. Mm. Like Book has got that. He's got that Mamba mentality. Book does not strike me as the type of dude, and we've seen this in practice multiple times, where he fucks around. Mm-hmm. Like he gets in there and he puts in work. Like, and that's what he's about. Cat doesn't necessarily give me all those vibes. I'm sure he works hard, but like D Book is about that life. And if D'Lo comes in, I can see him having to adapt to Book because this is Book's team. Right. And don't you ever fucking forget that.
Well, and I don't think he would.
No, I don't think he would either.
Han in the chat said, so what you're saying is D'Lo is perfect fit for this hot mess.
Yes.
Come on.
Oh, man. Yes.
It's not hot. It's been very cold here.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on D'Angelo Russell, and we'll see if maybe this time around things actually happen. But I'm personally not going to hold my breath around a D'Lo conversation anymore.
If the Reaper does not kill it soon, I believe there's legs. That's what I'm saying. That he lived for killing the D'Lo rumors before.
We shall see. We also obviously all got news earlier in the week that Matt Ishbia is going to be at the helm of this organization before the trade deadline. The Suns told us that he will be introduced as the new owner in a press conference February 8th. AKA the day before the trade deadline. So I know, Gerald, you put together a wish list at gophnx.com, but let's all talk about a wish list for Matt Ishbia when he gets here. Mm-hmm. What's on your list, y'all?
I mean, I'll let you guys go first because.
Okay. Mine is real simple. Well, twofold, right? The first thing you do is fire Jason Rowley. I've said it since the beginning of this. The second you walk in the door, hire a new team president, clean a house. Mm-hmm. 1B, though, if you really want to ingratiate yourself to Suns fans, bring back the physical Ring of Honor and then put D'Antoni, Amari, and Matrix all in there. Right there, you already win people over just doing that.
I'm personally waiting on the Amari thing for just a minute there. But yeah, I agree with you on like Marion needs to be immediately put in there. D'Antoni needs to be put in there immediately. A G League team would be nice. Mm-hmm. Like, holy shit, we're one of two teams in the NBA that doesn't have a fucking G League affiliate with the Blazers. That's insane.
I'm only in if they play at the Mullet.
Okay, that's the question. Where do you want this G League team?
I'm Prescott. Leave them in Prescott. That worked out. Or in Flagstaff.
No. Just if you leave them in Prescott, can we not be the Northern Arizona Suns? Because the NAZ Suns was way too close to an uncomfortable typo.
Oh,
so, like,
God.
Let's go with something better than that.
Especially nowadays, since people are using that word again.
You can't throw them in Tucson.
Why not?
Why not?
Because they'll get dwarfed. Nobody will ever go to those games.
Nobody went to them in Prescott Valley either.
How do you know?
Because
I worked there when they had the team.
You've worked everywhere.
I mean, worked for the Suns when they had the team.
So you went back and forth all the time?
Sometimes you had to go up there for certain things. Yeah.
So like what?
And you
so
heard about
we did
what was going
when
on.
Derek Jones Jr. was with our G League team. We had to go up there. After training camp, we would have a little exhibition up there too. And even those ones weren't like overly popping. Like they were popping, but you know.
So there is an alternative. There's a G League team that does not have an NBA affiliate in Mexico City. Now it's a three-hour.
Oh, sign me
it's
up.
It's a three-hour flight.
Send me to the G League team right now, you guys.
But if the NBA is considering expansion down the line there, I mean,
it's fine.
It'd be interesting.
That would be so fun.
Lindsay Smith, the Mexico City Sun sideline reporter.
That would be a blast. I love that move.
For clarification, I wasn't saying Tucson wouldn't go to those games because they don't love basketball. I'm saying they wouldn't go to those games because there's better basketball up the street. Hello.
I'm not better, but yes, they would
significantly better.
No, they Let's love go, Wildcats. That no, come on.
Just, you don't think there's enough room in a basketball town's heart for extra basketball?
Just name them the Tucson Wildcats. Make them red and blue.
No, oh, don't fucking do that.
There we go. Okay.
Let's go to Mexico. The Mexico City branding would be so much cooler.
Mark Blair, you suck. I love Tucson.
I don't know.
Saul, anything on your wish list?
Honestly, for me, it's very simple. Clean house, mm-hmm. and implement and input people that you know truly care about people, mm-hmm. truly care about the growth of a franchise and the city. And more importantly, I would really love to see the walls kind of be torn down and more events open to the public. Mm-hmm. 'Cause there's right now prices are just crazy insane. And it's hard for a family of four that doesn't have all the money that's expendable in the world with inflation and all this stuff going on to get involved with the team that they grew up loving. Like, so have some more events that are accessible for people of all classes to be able to go and meet their favorite players, get an autograph, take a picture, those kind of things. I you know, like a fan festy type of thing, that would be open. I would like to see more of that.
Like more lemonade stands. Loved that. Yeah. I thought that was a really fun, like natural. Did it get co-opted a little bit?
Yeah,
yes. But how
that.
It started was perfect.
It was so perfect.
How it started was perfect.
It was so perfect until it got corporatized and then I was out.
Yeah.
But that was after the initial
it
event.
It was.
Though.
The actual event itself was pretty cool.
That when I wrote that article, ingrain yourself in the community was one that was important because, you know, obviously he's got all his stuff in Michigan or whatever, but like events, charities, doing the media tour, come on our show, Matt.
That's the number one. Get your ass
like,
out here.
Like it's good because for so long the Suns have been unlikable across the NBA because of the guy at the very top. So make an effort to put yourself in the community, show Suns fans and this city that you care about this team and it wasn't just a team for you to buy, and you know. Go about restoring the image of this organization, and cleaning house is an important part of that, obviously.
Yeah, and I think bringing in some people along with James Jones, if that's the way you decide to go, that have championship pedigree, have won it, because they say act like you've been there before. Well, if you've never been there before, you don't know how to act. Mm. And I'd like to see some people with that mindset in there as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, mine's pretty simple. Like the first one is like, don't be a dick. Like very low bar setting here, you know, but that's one that I think is important to have.
Yeah.
I do love Bryn Tannehill on Twitter when she responded to you, said, bring more goats in the office. Now you could take that literally or metaphorically.
Yeah.
I'll take both. I'll take either one, right? Bring more goats in the office. Maybe that means Diana Taurasi can move into some sort of a role within the organization. Maybe you just give her the ownership rights to the Mercury. I'm on board with that.
I want DT on television. Selfishly, I want that analysis.
But she doesn't want to.
Her and Eddie.
No. I don't want DT on television. I want DT unedited.
On the internet.
I want DT on the internet. I want that. Yes. I want a side feed that is unedited and DT can really tell me what she thinks. Because I love unedited DT. She's the best.
We got a seat here.
I'm saying
live whenever you
I'm
want.
Just saying.
And then this one is just kind of like out of left field, but a partnership with Mitchell and Ness, which Book and CP3 are now part owners of, so that we can have some continued really dope merch around like the 90s retro look. We're talking like the Sunburst logo, of course, and the All-Star stuff. Like I think Mitchell and Ness does a really cool job, and I don't know if the Suns have a partnership with them or not, but I know there's a whole bunch of red tape around the burst, and that's why we could only have it for 1 year because they own the rights to it. But find a good friendship there so we can have some cool stuff.
I think you bring up a great point. rebranding of some sorts. Now, I don't want to go away from colors or the burst, but give me different jerseys. Get me away from anything that reminds me of the disgraced future former owner of this team. Give me a fresh start where I can – it feels like the demons have been fully exercised.
Bring back the Western font. I'd love to see those jerseys back again.
That would be dope.
You know, just for one season or two seasons. I don't care. The Western font is so, such a classic look that it's just – come on. Bring it back.
I like this one from the chat. A lot of people are saying bring Charles Barkley back. Mike B said, got to get Thunder Dan and Charles involved somehow too. Pipe dream, but dreams are free. But I do think that's an important one. Build the bridge that has been broken for a lot of your old school players. Mend that relationship, get them involved with the organization again, whether it's from being like an ambassador or just being around or working for the team in some capacity, whatever that looks like, mend the bridges.
I wonder why so many organizations do that, where owners come in and they just like alienate players that the fans have traditionally loved.
Because it's not about the fans. It's about the allegiance to former owners and egos. That's really all
it is. I've seen that at the collegiate level, too, where new head coaches will get hired and they just completely alienate guys that, you know, blood, sweat, and teared their way to some success. And I just don't understand this. So,
Sly brought up a fun one. 1% interest rates.
I love that.
For all Suns fans. Let's make that happen.
You can get that if you get a diehard subscription. I'm just saying.
Yeah, we'll fund about $58 worth of your mortgage at 1%.
So. You can buy down your points with $58. That's all you got. Yep. Anything else that you'd like on the wish list?
Fly the Mercury.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. Don't make them go through what they've been going through.
Agree with that. Obviously, there's a lot of the basketball stuff, like clear the path so JJ can make a Jay Crowder trade at the very least before the deadline. You know, front office stuff, beefing up the scouting department, making that a mandatory thing is huge. And I wrote about all this other basketball stuff in detail at gophnx.com if you want to read it. But my biggest thing, Matthew, please turn the AC down in the Footprint Center. It's so fucking cold in there all the time. We are all wearing jackets on Media Row because the damn beer garden doors are wide the fuck up open. So the temperature is whatever it is outside. Please close the doors. Please turn the heater on a little bit. I don't want to freeze anymore basketball.
Come April when those doors open, you'll be like, please turn on the air.
Please close the doors.
Close the doors.
Just make it a comfortable temperature. Everyone that goes to games is freezing right now.
I get what you're saying, though. It's like everyone assumes like, oh, it's Phoenix. It's 100 and some odd degrees. Like winters aren't that bad. We're used to 100 some odd degrees. Winters are still bad for a lot of us here, okay?
And if I'm indoors and it's 40 degrees, we have a problem.
Yes.
Look, I want it tied to how well the Suns are shooting. If they if they start shooting poorly, that temperature drops, everybody's uncomfortable.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
You guys are soft. Wow.
I live here for a reason. I moved here to get away from the fucking cold. Just make it warm inside. If I'm inside, that's the expectation. It's warm. That's all I want.
Anybody else?
Please, Matthew.
Anybody else? Good on that one? All right. There's our wish list for Matt. Hopefully we get some of those things at the very least. Churn up the heat in the wintertime so Gerald can just like chill out a little bit more.
Literally.
I'm on your team though, Gerald. I'm 100% in support of that. We do have a super chat from Rashawn. Thank you for your super chat, Rashawn. They said, I love the new nickname, Ice Monty or I Will Ice.
Momentum killer, Ice Monty. We're getting the recording booth, DJ Father.
DJ Father and Espo back in action.
Oh, we're doing it together, Saul.
I am dreading this.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, you don't have the balls to bring the heat like I do.
Listen, there's two ways that you could utilize.
Psychology does nothing to
there are two ways you can utilize OGs when it comes to this new song between DJ Father and Espo. You can either utilize it to forget about it, or you can utilize it to heighten the experience, which I am team utilize to heighten the experience because I, for one, am actually really looking forward to this song. I might regret saying that at some point in time, but for right now, I'm very excited about it. Our friends over at OGs make the best scratch-made THC gummies, and they have a wide variety of flavors and items that you can choose from. It's official. Strawberries and cream is hitting the shelves soon. And this is the Happy Balance gummy. So it's a 1-to-1 ratio of CBD and THC. And it's Happy Balance. Like, how can you be mad about anything that provides a happy balance in your life? That's literally what we're all striving for, right? Mm-hmm. Just a reminder, though, you do have to be 21 or older, and we ask that you enjoy responsibly. But you can find OGs at OGsBrands.com or at your local dispensary.
Hey, Lindsay, stop, collaborate, and listen. DJ Father and Espo are back with a brand new mission.
Oh.
Oh, it's coming.
I feel like... Nope.
I feel like... Eject. Immediately
screw you,
eject.
DJ Father. I'll produce it on my own.
If you would have replaced mission with addition, I think it could have worked really well for that one. I'm just saying. I don't know, but it'd be fun. Listen, if you want to go to a Suns game, all I can recommend to you are two things. One, bring a jacket because apparently it's really cold. Two, buy your tickets at
game
time.
You ain't been to the arena. When's the last time you've been there?
That you can save you up to 60% when you buy them last minute.
You don't know my life.
Game Time is a great place to go when you are looking for tickets to upcoming games or concerts because last minute, you can get really good deals. We're talking up to 60% here, okay? So make sure you check them out anytime you are looking for tickets. And the best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description of this show, whether that's on YouTube or whatever podcast platform you find the shows on. The link is always in the description, so it's really easy to come back to you throughout the year anytime you're looking for tickets. So check them out. Okay, you guys ready for a game?
Let's do it.
See.
All right. So this is a game that Espo came up with, but I did all the heavy lifting on, except for creating the graphics. That was also Espo.
See, that's what management does.
Y'all see what I'm doing here?
We come up with the idea. We make other people do the work.
Oh, man.
I only did half the work. I still made you do the other half, though. So.
Somehow I got suckered into doing the heavy lifting.
All right. We're going to play a little Would You Rather NBA stats edition. So we put one of these on our Twitter page today, and that's what caused kind of a little bit of chaos around the D-Lo shenanigans. But basically how this works is real simple. Two players, you don't know who they are. I'm showing you their stats, ones that I've cherry-picked. You get points, rebound, assists, and then one cherry-picked stat on each of them. And you have to tell me who you'd rather trade for or have on the Suns team.
So
ready?
This is just Espo or Gerald and I or everybody's?
Espo didn't see the players. He just saw the stats.
Okay.
Yeah, so he didn't see the players.
Gotcha.
So all three
got
of
advanced.
You.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm the only one who knows which players and Shane, of course, behind the Mac. So what do we got first, Shane? Who are we looking at here? Okay. Player one, 17.6 points per game, 2.9 rebounds per game, 6.2 assists per game, and is shooting 46.5% from the field. Or player two, 15.8 points per game, 6.3 rebounds per game, 7.5 assists per game, and is shooting 42.1 from the field.
I will take Jordan Clarkson, player number two.
Okay.
That's not Jordan Clarkson, but nice try.
Okay. Well. It's Russell Westbrook.
Oof. Yeah, I'll take player one.
I'm going to take player one as well.
Are you still playing player two?
Oh, I'm still taking two.
Player two feels like a trap. And I want to point out, I detest this format just because I don't know all the other stats. And it drives me nuts.
That's the fun of it.
So I'll take player one. That's what makes this fun.
If this is Russell Westbrook, I'm fully on board with this.
I love how Connor. God. Is Connor basically what you are asking what? For? I need to know their VORP. You need all of them.
Value.
Now I know you're
location.
Trolling us.
So player one was D'Lo.
Okay.
Player two was. Russell Westbrook.
Hey, let's go, thank Russ.
Not
let's
a,
cook.
Not a chance in hell.
Why not?
No.
Why not?
No, because you're not going to re-sign him, so then you've just wasted.
Wait, do you really want to re-sign him?
But the point is, if you're going to trade your expiring contracts, you have to get in somebody that you will want to at least consider re-signing.
You got
to
send out, like, what, $40 million in salary? Some shit like that?
Hey, listen.
For
listen,
what?
Listen. You put two players up there. You said who was better. I took the one that was better.
No, she asked who would you rather trade for.
All time, sure.
You said, would you rather? Would you rather have this player or that player? Okay, I would rather have that player.
Paul is standing by his choice,
yeah,
and
Russell
I respect
Westbrook.
It. I respect
let's
it.
Let's ride.
You're always allowed to be
into
wrong.
Into the gates
show.
Of hell.
Let's ride to a first round elimination, baby.
No.
Let's go.
Yeah. All right. Our next set of would you rathers, we have player number one, with 25.2 points per game, 8.3 rebounds, 6.5 assists, and 1.3 3-point makes. Player two, 29.9 points, 8.5 rebounds, 7 assists, and 2.1.
Okay. Three. Anybody that takes player one must have fallen down the stairs. Player
two. Be careful there, buddy. Be careful.
I'm taking player two.
Player two?
I'm taking player two all day.
Okay.
I'm taking player two. I would like to see some efficiency.
Oh, you know you're about to regret this.
I think this is Bradley Beal.
I feel like I could give you some efficiency. So from a three-point perspective for player two, it's 30.4. From a field goal perspective, it's 50.
Okay.
Okay. And then player one, from, I only have field goal pulled up. I can only tell you that because it cut off the other one. 47.7 from the field.
Is this Beal or LeBron?
I feel like player one might be close to Randall. I feel like he might be averaging more rebounds, though.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm going to take player two.
Y'all still player two?
Yes.
I'm taking player two.
All right. Player one is Pascal Siakam.
Okay.
Player two is the king, LeBron James.
Oh, okay. I take LeBron
all day.
Two for two.
All day.
Okay.
Oh, I want two Lakers on our team. Fuck me.
That's rough, man.
Damn
Well, you know, thank you.
LeBron's going to be a Phoenix Sun next year,
doing
by the way.
What's all
you heard it here first. That's happening. That's for sure happening.
All right. Next up, would you rather... Player one, 19.1 points, 4.3 rebounds, 6.3 assists, 1.6 steals. Or player two, 17.3 points, 5.6 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2.1 steals.
Is player one Dennis Schroeder? Because that would be awesome.
Oh, God.
I'm going to take player two.
I'll take player one.
Okay.
I feel like player one might be Van Vliet. I'm going to take player one.
So we got two player ones and one player two.
Yep.
Player one is Fred VanVleet.
Nicely done, sir.
Player two, OG Anunoby.
Ooh, dang it. Missed that.
Definitely.
Such an evil laugh.
Definitely want
it.
Player number one.
Give me number two all day.
I
would take number two.
All right.
Want a jam-packed small forward. Is that what you want?
I want wings and limbs everywhere.
You guys all want wings
defense
and limbs.
Everywhere. Wings. I said limbs, not phalanges.
Wings and hot sauce, baby.
That's where my head went. All right. Finally, our last would you rather. We have player one, 13.7 points, 4.3 rebounds, 8.6 assists, shooting 40.9% from deep. Player two, 12.5 points, 4 rebounds, 3.1 assists, and shooting 33.8%. percent from deep.
Then I'll put up playoff stats. I'll take player two.
Do you know these players?
I know. I assume I know who player one is, though.
I feel like this is one of those red herring. She wants us to take player
I
one.
I know.
So she goes, surprise, you just picked Grayson Allen.
Right.
I'm going to go player one.
Someone is really high in assists, and they're probably not that great, but I'm going to take player one.
What? If somebody's pretty high in assists.
Well, that's what I'm agreeing you with you. Like, player one, it's drawing us into a trap.
You realize player one's probably Chris Paul.
It might be, actually.
Yeah, actually it is.
Yeah, okay.
Player one's Chris Paul. I'll stay with it. I'll keep Chris
that's
Paul.
That's why I said player two.
No, I feel a lot better choosing that now, actually.
Yeah, I do too.
Thought it was a trick, like some...
It's a trap!
Player one is Chris Paul.
Hell yeah.
And player two is Emmanuel Quickly.
Okay.
Ooh. I don't think you can go wrong either way.
I'm glad I'm sticking with my pick for sure.
So yeah, what'd you guys think? Did you feel like you... Now that you have seen all of these would you rathers, you know who you were picking. Do you feel good with your choices?
Yes.
I do.
I think 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 4. There was the one that I didn't like.
It was rue the day when Russell Westbrook drops a triple double in the first round of the playoffs and
they
saves
lose.
The day.
I really thought
you were going to drop a Pat Bev versus Grayson Allen in there.
I should have. Like a Sophie's
choice without us knowing who we're actually
right.
Like,
that would have been
brutal. I was trying to make it like, you know.
I would take Grayson Allen. He's a better shooter.
Similar style players and players that have been linked to the Suns, right? So we were doing the best we could. But
I like it.
I thought it was a fun game. I enjoyed all the different selections. The fact that you pick Westbrook and LeBron back to back is quite hilarious to me, considering how much you hate the Lakers.
I have an eye for talent. What can I say?
I don't know about that one, but what we do here at PHNX have an eye for is really good food. And you can find really good food at Illegal Pete's. They've got bowls, tacos, salads, burritos, nachos, a full bar with custom cocktails and happy hour every day from 3 to 6 p.m. And if you are looking for a place where you can find fresh ingredients and ingredients that can fit almost any diet or dietary restriction, Illegal Pete's is a no-brainer. Eat Pete's just for the health of it. It's always our go-to spot for burritos, buddies, and beer. And you can check out their location in Tempe. It's one of our favorites to stop by.
I wish it was go to health, right?
I don't hate that, actually. Yeah. Oh, that's a good one, Espo. Shane hates it, but I'm okay with it, Espo. All right, and then lastly, Underdog Fantasy. They do daily fantasy sports differently. The pick'em game is the best. It's super easy. You quite literally pick higher or lower. And our friend here at PHNX from the D-Back show, Derek Montilla, won $1,000 playing higher or lower on Underdog Fantasy. Yes. And the way that you get extra money for this higher or lower thing is just simply adding more legs. So if you add as many legs as you're allowed to on Underdog Fantasy, you could literally win up to $1,000.
$5 or five legs, 20 times your money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So $20 down, and I think he won $1,000 on a $20 pick'em game on Underdog Fantasy. And right now, if you go to underdogfantasy.com.
He put 50 down and then
50 down. Yeah. He told me it was 20. My bad.
Well, 20 times 20 would be 400. Sucks. So yeah.
Math is hard.
But anyway, what isn't hard is getting free money from Underdog Fantasy. You just go to underdogfantasy.com.
I thought that was our
or you
new
download
sponsor.
The app. You sign up with the promo code PHNX, and Underdog will match your first deposit up to $100. It's super easy. Really simple stuff. So make sure you guys check it out. Anything else that you guys want to talk about on this fine Friday afternoon?
Yes. If you haven't read the piece on Biombo, go read it. One of my favorite things I've written in quite a while. A lot of fun highlights. Just watch like Busy block a bunch of shots. There's a bunch of videos in there. So
yeah, over my years, I've had to read a lot of crappy Sun stuff. This is not one of those things. Go check it out. It's well worth it.
Yesterday or 2 days ago, we had a debate about Chris Paul versus Steve Nash while we were... Well, some people were a little intoxicated on the show. But I did ask Eddie Johnson yesterday on Outside Shots about that very specific thing. Go out, check it out. He also drops a little nugget about why he got traded and how that all came to be from the Phoenix Suns, which I had never heard before until yesterday, and neither did Espo, which probably means more because Espo is the Suns aficionado. So check it out if you haven't had a chance.
Which also, did I hear this correctly? We basically learned that the only reason we don't have a championship is because Eddie Johnson wasn't on that team.
Yep. Yes.
So what we're saying is it's Eddie's fault.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I made that
thanks,
clear.
EJ.
I made that clear to him on the show.
A million percent.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us. We appreciate you as always. We hope you have a great Saturday and Sunday. Make sure to join us tomorrow for our pregame show and postgame show as the Suns take on the Spurs. Till we see you then, you can follow me on Twitter at LindsaySmithAZ. You can follow Saul at Saul_Bookman. You can follow Gerald at Gerald Bourget. And of course, you can follow Espo at Espo.
Oh, before you say it, next Tuesday, we got something cool coming for you guys. There you go. That's all I got to say.
Oh, yeah.
Espo, take us home.
Am I good?
Okay. Yes, you are.
Just make sure you memorize all the Lakers stats. So when you have to pick guys blindly, you don't pick two Lakers. Ahoy, hoy. Got to understand me. I'll always rep the family. Rally in the valley like Dan G. No plan B. Always on the job. My team move like the mob. Turn the beat on. I throw it down like DA on the lot. Best combo since KJ, Marley, and Charles. If you squat, just sitting on the chat. Get involved. Rhymes say it's got flavor. Known as...